day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in the house of God to worship. And I'm especially glad to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church if this is your first time to worship in this place. We hope you have a chance, if you're visiting with us, to meet some of the friends sitting around you. We have several ways to get to know one another on Sunday morning. One of the practices we have is to sign the registration pads. They are at the end of each row, and I think they're already making their way down the rows. And if you would sign those and let us know you were here, that would be wonderful. You can also notice the names of others sitting on your row, and that may be an opportunity to meet someone new this morning. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation, I would invite you after the service to come through this doorway into what we call Reed Hall, and there will be a welcome desk and folks with the blue name tags that can help you learn a little bit more about how we are trying to live out God's love in the world as a congregation. If you're a college student, there is lunch with college students every Sunday at 12:15, and that group gathers also in Reed Hall just outside this door. We hope you can join us for that. Just a word about our service this morning. There was supposed to be a baptism with the Lowe family, and unfortunately, the flu has come to that household, as it has to so many. So we will do that baptism on another day and ask for you to keep that family and so many who are struggling with illness this time of year in your prayers. The season of Lent is beginning this week on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Leading up to that, however, we have a wonderful tradition here. On Tuesday night, we celebrate Shrove Tuesday with a pancake supper that starts at 5 and Jazz Mass at 6:30. There are tickets to the pancake supper available in Reed Hall. Then on Wednesday, for Ash Wednesday, we'll have a service of worship at noon and also at 6 p.m. The 6 p.m. service is child-friendly and accessible, so we hope that all of us of all ages will be able to come. Wednesday night supper will be as usual, starting at 5 o'clock. Every Thursday during Lent at noon, we have a special concert, and those concerts are listed, I believe, in your insert and on the website and other places. Wonderful way to take a moment of sacred space during the season of Lent. And then there are also several special studies being offered, and that information is in your insert as well. So many opportunities to worship, to pray, to grow in our faith during this 40-day season as we prepare for the celebration of Easter. Traditionally, in the Christian church, the Sunday before Easter begins is Transfiguration Sunday. So we hear the story this morning of Jesus taking a few of his disciples up on the mountain and being filled with light and glory before their eyes. So may our eyes be open and our hearts be open to encounter the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ during this time.
Thank you. The voice of God thunders like a mighty storm. Our holy, righteous God comes to us in love to save us. Rejoicing in God's grace, let us confess our sin with one voice. God of all glory, beauty, and grace, we have tried to hide from you, to hide our faces, to hide our sin. Yet you have never hidden your love for us. We have tried to search for you in temples, in clouds, on mountaintops. Yet you have already revealed yourself to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Forgive us and transform us so that our lives may shine with your glory, beauty, and grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our God comes and does not keep silence. God speaks to us with grace and love, saying, "You are my beloved child." This is the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now, please join us as we live out our belief that we are loved by God, and that we are not alone as we share the peace of Christ with one another and as you greet your neighbor. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Jesus took a few of his disciples up on a mountain, and while he was up there, his face changed and all of this wonderful light and glory shone around him. And the disciples didn't quite understand what was going on, and it was a little bit hard to describe. Have you ever drawn a picture of Jesus? I've drawn a few pictures of Jesus. Sometimes I think it's hard to capture Jesus in a picture, to really be able to capture what he was like. One of the oldest pictures of Jesus ever painted looks like this. They found it in the church in Sinai. And one of the things we believe about Jesus was that he was fully like us. He was a human being, just like you and me. And he was also fully God. Both of those things at once. It's kind of hard to understand. So this artist tried to paint a picture that might show a little bit what that was like. So I'm going to show you this really cool thing about this picture. This half of Jesus' face in the picture looks different from that half. You see that? So the artist felt like this half kind of shows Jesus' God nature, how Jesus is like God. And this half shows how Jesus is like us. So it's always good to draw pictures and to sing songs and to try to describe Jesus, but always to remember that there's so much more that we don't understand and that we don't have to capture Jesus. The most important thing for us to know is what, when they were on the mountain that day, the voice of God said, "This is my son. Listen to him." So let's make sure that we know how much Jesus loves us and do our best to listen to what Jesus teaches us and keep drawing those pictures. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, there's so much about you that we don't always understand, but we do understand how much you love us. And we know that you want us to follow you and do as you teach us to do. So help us to love you and to follow you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to those of you who sang this morning. It was about 14 years ago that I had a profound spiritual experience sitting in a meeting of the Board of Ordained Ministry. It's kind of funny, isn't it? What in the world is the Board of Ordained Ministry? Well, Erin Racine now sits on that board, so she could tell you a little bit about it. But back when I was on it, it was about 35 to 40 clergy and lay people from United Methodist churches in the Middle Tennessee area. And we gathered once a year for a retreat during which we would interview people who wanted to be ordained as pastors. And it was our job to interview and evaluate them and discern whether they were called to serve as pastors in the church. So on this particular retreat, or in 2004, I think it was, we were meeting at a retreat center in Monteagle, up on Monteagle Mountain. And I arrived there, and all the members of the board were sitting around the tables, and we had our opening worship service, and then we got down to business, got down to work, talking about the interviews that were coming up the next day. So I was sitting there, looking around at everyone, when all of a sudden, it was like the room was transformed, and every person around that table looked absolutely beautiful to me. There were people of all ages and races and experiences and theological backgrounds, and it was as if it was a glimpse of the kingdom of God in all of its beauty and diversity. And I was just filled with this overwhelming sense of God's love for each and every person, just glowing through everybody. And I wanted to stand up and say, "I love you guys. This is so, do you see it? Do you see the beauty inside each and every one of you? Do you feel God's love? Do you realize that we are such beautiful creatures in the sight of God? Can you see the kingdom of God?" But as quickly as the feeling had come upon me, it departed. And I didn't stand up, and I didn't say anything. I think I went home after that weekend and told David about the experience, but other than that, I really didn't talk about it that much. And as the days and weeks went on, I started to question it. What was that all about? Was that just sort of a daydream? Was it the sausage biscuit I had that morning for breakfast? Was there just something weird going on? But over the years now, as I've had more time to think about it and reflect on it and pray about it, I think what that experience was just a momentary glimpse of the eternity that is always around us every single moment of every day. A snapshot of the kingdom of God. For just a moment, the veil lifted and I saw the big love and felt it. Maybe you've had an experience like that before. For many people, it's at the moment of the birth of a child. If you've experienced the birth of a child, there is often this connection with all that is and the eternity and the love of God that envelops us all. For some who've had the privilege of sitting at the bedside of a person who's making that journey from this life to the next, there is a moment when the veil lifts and the presence of God is palpable in a powerful way. I was at a workshop this week on Monday with Tom Long, who's a professor of preaching. He's retired now, but he most recently was teaching at Candler School of Theology. And he was talking about something entirely different from this story in Mark's gospel, but he gave this image that I felt fit perfectly with the story today. Imagine a sewing machine. And I have to imagine one because I don't have one and I've never used one, but I know how they work. With a sewing machine, you have the fabric that's always going through the machine, and that's like our time, our day-to-day living, ordinary time. But periodically, the needle of that sewing machine pierces through the fabric. Every now and again, eternity breaks in on our daily lives. Every now and then, the kingdom of God becomes visible right in front of us. It is always around us, always closer to us than our next breath, but we can't always see it. We don't always feel it. But there are those moments when we do, and we can. And how do we make sense of those? I think what we have in this story of the Transfiguration is one of those moments. The disciples are going up the mountain with Jesus to pray. He did this all the time. Sometimes he went by himself. Sometimes he took his disciples with him. This time he takes Peter, James, and John. I don't know if any of them knew what was going to happen when they got to that mountaintop. But as Jesus began to pray, the veil lifted for just a moment. And they saw not only their rabbi, their friend, their teacher, who they had been with all throughout Galilee all along, but they saw the eternal Christ, who was and is to come, the one who is in the Trinity from the very beginning and always will be. They saw Jesus, the Christ, in all of his glory. Eventually, the cloud lifted. After Moses and Elijah had come out of time to be with Jesus, and they all saw it, but the cloud lifted, and they went back down the mountain, and they did not know how to make sense of it for a long time. Now, some of us are here this morning and probably thinking to ourselves, you know, I've never had an experience like that. I don't know what that's like. I have felt that same way myself. And then I realized that with this story of the Transfiguration, there were 9 disciples who weren't there. 9 disciples just as close to Jesus as Peter, James, and John were. And for whatever reason, they didn't see what happened on that mountain. And Peter, James, and John didn't talk about it for a long time until after the resurrection of Jesus. But once that happened and they understood better what had appeared before them, they shared the story. And then it was no longer just their story. It became our story. It became a story of the church. So that now you and I can read the 9th chapter of Mark or the other accounts in the other Gospels, and we can hear about what they saw and what they experienced. We can see before us the glowing face of Christ and know that the kingdom of God is all around us, ready to be revealed at any moment. But it doesn't have to be this mystical, supernatural, extraordinary thing. Glimpses of the kingdom happen all the time, and we as disciples need to do what Peter, James, and John did and tell each other about it. Let me tell you what I saw. Let me tell you what I experienced when I saw the kingdom right in front of my eyes. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was in worship a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. He's an Episcopalian, and a couple of rows ahead of him, two gentlemen came and sat down, and he said it seemed apparent that these gentlemen had come off the streets and had probably spent the night on the streets, had never walked in the church before. But as soon as they sat down, an usher came and gave them a bulletin. A woman went and sat down with them and showed them the Book of Common Prayer. And they were all worshiping together and standing up and sitting down and saying the prayers. And my friend said, I just realized in that moment, I'm in the middle of the kingdom of God right here. It's a simple thing, but he had eyes to see and the wisdom to name it. Another thing that Tom Long said on Monday was a quote he shared from a writer named Christopher Morse, who said, a disciple's job is to be on hand for that which is at hand, but not in hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus proclaimed. The kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is always around us, all of the time. The love of God is beyond time. The justice of God has already been accomplished. The compassion and grace of God is closer to us than we know. And our job as disciples is to be on hand at all times, to recognize and name those moments when the kingdom of God manifests itself before us. To be on hand, to name it for the world. To be on hand for what is at hand, but not in hand. We don't control the kingdom of God. It is not up to us to dole out God's love to those whom we think are deserving. We can't manage eternity. Peter tried up on the mountaintop. As Jesus was being revealed in all of his glory, Peter said, "This is great. Let's build three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and for Elijah. Let's stay up here forever. Let's hold on to this experience, Jesus." And I love how it says he was just talking because he was terrified. But we do the same thing. We want to capture. We want to manage. We want to control our experiences of God and those of others. But that is not ours to do. Our job is to be on hand for what is at hand, but not in hand. So here we are on the Mountain of Transfiguration, right before the season of Lent begins. And I think there's a reason why the church gave us this tradition of going up the mountain before we begin the journey to the cross. I think there's a reason that God called Jesus up on the mountain to remind him of the eternal presence of the kingdom, that everything was already accomplished. Because the road was about to get really dark. It was about to look like hatred was winning the day. It was about to look like injustice was victorious. It was about to look like hate had triumphed over love. And so these disciples and Jesus himself had this memory of the power and eternal grace and love of God to hold on to until the day of resurrection. That's our job, my friends, to hold on to the power and the promise of the kingdom of God, even if it looks like the darkness is winning. To be on hand for what is at hand, and to proclaim it for the sake of the world. Amen. The ancient church has handed down to us a creed that we call the Nicene Creed, that puts in such beautiful language the power of the eternal Christ and the Christ who came to suffer for us. So I would invite you to stand as you're able and join me in reciting this creed found on page 880 in our hymnals. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up our joys and concerns as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, please fill out one of the gray cards that's located in the pew racks in front of you. And on that card, indicate if your prayer is to be shared or if you would like it to remain confidential. And you can place those cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. There are several deaths related to our family of faith here at West End United Methodist Church this week. The first is Margaret Owsley Sigenthaler, who passed away at her home on January 16th. Also, Susan Metcalf James and her family are mourning the death of her brother, Dr. D. Lamar Metcalf III, who died January 22nd at his home in Greenville, Tennessee. David Furse and Kimberly Pace Furse are mourning the death of their brother-in-law, Reverend Charles S. Farr, Jr., who died February 1st in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And finally, we mourn with John Lewis in the death of his husband, Daryl Ray Brown, who died February 4th. A memorial service is scheduled for Saturday, February 17th in Scales Chapel at 1 o'clock p.m. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord of all ages, your presence has been known in each generation. From Moses to Elijah to the voices of countless prophets, you have called out to humanity. In Christ, you have made your glory fully known. We pray to you this day that by your Spirit, we would know the fullness of your grace. Jesus, Savior of all the nations, we come into your presence with prayers for peace. Not a cheap peace that's forced by human means and false truces, but the deep peace that comes from you. In times when we are gripped by fear and anxiety, help us love one another. Remind us of your boundless love, a love that crosses the boundaries that divide us, that calls us to love even our enemies. We pray for your whole creation, that the world might be as you would have it. May the light of your presence shine down from the mountaintop and illumine the places where shadows lurk. Work among us to bring healing and wholeness in times and places marked by death and destruction, poverty and scarcity, war and famine, disaster and distress. We cannot do it alone. Your goodness alone will suffice. We pray for our community, our neighbors, our church, and ourselves. Search our hearts and know our deepest struggles. You alone can touch the void in our souls. You alone can awaken the flame in our hearts. You alone can bring new life where there was only death. Holy God, hear these petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer, as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We give our tithes and offerings as a sign that the light of Christ shines from the mountaintop and into the world.
believe that even now, even here, in this time together, we have glimpsed eternity. We have seen the kingdom of God manifest before us. May we take that hope, that vision before us out into the world, that the light of Christ might shine through us.